This morning, God's Word comes to us from 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel 9. We'll be reading the 13 verses of this chapter. 2 Samuel 9, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore you to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this has certainly been a day of joy for our congregation and a day of reminder. Reminder of the blessings that God gives to us. The blessings in the covenant of baptism, being incorporated into God's family. The blessings of coming to the Lord's table to take and eat the body and blood of Christ. But it's sometimes easy for us to forget how significant these events are. How significant it is to be washed in the waters of baptism. How significant it is to come to the Lord's table. This morning we look at an Old Testament story, a story to remind us of the glory of the blessings God gives to us. Now, I do not suggest that 2 Samuel 9 is, first of all, a story about the Lord's table. But it is certainly a reminder of the blessings that we have as those who are called to come to the Lord's table. The kingship in Israel is now becoming firmly established for David. Remember, children, Saul had been the king. Saul had been king, and then God came and, because of Saul's disobedience, said, "I will take the kingship away from you and give it to another." Well, that other was David. And David, you recall how he was out there in the field tending the sheep, and someone came to anoint the king, and they brought son after son of Jesse's sons there, and finally, "Isn't there any more sons? Oh, there's one out in the field tending sheep yet. Well, bring him in, and we'll not sit down till he gets here." And David walks in, and this is the one. This is the one called by God and anointed to be the new king. Now, simply because David at that point was anointed as king, Saul was still ruling. Saul was still in control. It would take time before David would actually take that kingship for his own. In the process of David being recognized as the true king over God's people, time goes on. Saul is killed in battle, and Saul's son Jonathan killed in battle. Saul's son Jonathan was David's best friend. David and Jonathan were the closest of friends. So close that they made an agreement with each other. Jonathan knew that his father was not the chosen one, that the kingdom would be taken from him, and that David would take over. And so Jonathan says, because of our friendship, because of how close we are, when that happens, remember my family. And David and Jonathan covenant together. They make an agreement together that for the sake of their friendship, for the sake of Jonathan, David will be gracious to his household and to his line. That's where we pick up the story this morning. Saul is gone. Jonathan is gone. David is firmly established as king. And then he says, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? David wants to make good on his covenant. And he is told there is this servant of the house of Saul, a servant named Ziba. And David calls him in and asks him the question, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? David is going to be faithful to the covenant he made with Jonathan. Now, David didn't have to do that. No one else knew about the arrangement. No one else knew about the covenant. No one else knew about the deal he had made with Jonathan. He could have simply forgotten that part of their history and gone on and not be obliged to do anything publicly. But David will be faithful to the word he had given. David will be faithful to his promise. That even though no one would know if he hadn't done anything, he now makes this a public matter. Is there anyone left that I can show kindness to him because of my relationship with Jonathan? He is going to be good to Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, for the sake of Jonathan. Mephibosheth is going to receive a blessing for the sake of another. Mephibosheth hadn't done anything. In fact, David didn't even know Mephibosheth. Didn't even know he existed. And yet, because of the promise he had made to another, blessing would overflow to Mephibosheth. And he is invited to come to the king's house. We see how that Old Testament story casts a shadow forward to today, to our invitation to come to the table. We don't come because we deserve it. We don't come because we have earned it. But we are invited here on behalf of the work and the covenant of another. God and Jesus Christ covenanted together that God would give him a people. And although we weren't there for that covenant being made, God is faithful to it. And the blessings overflow to us. An undeserved invitation. Not because what we had done. Not because of who we knew. But
because of who knew us. Jesus Christ claiming us as His own, and because for His sake then, we are allowed access. We're allowed to come to the table of the Lord. God would be true to His word. He would not forget His promise. He would not forsake His covenant. A covenant made in baptism. I will be a God to you and to your descendants after you. But that blessing would overflow to us, the children.
David is told, there is one. There is one named Mephibosheth. And he's living out with Machir, son of Amiel, and Lodabar. And David says, well, go get him. Go get him and bring him to me. Now, Mephibosheth is going to be brought in. And the first thing he does is he falls down on his face. We don't read that he knew exactly what was going on. Now, we know what's going on. We know that David wants to be good to Mephibosheth. But we're not told that he knew that. For all Mephibosheth knew, he was still in the line of David's rival. David was king, but he is in Saul's line. And those in Saul's line were a threat to the throne. In fact, that's what happened a few chapters earlier. There was another one in the line of Saul, one named Ish-bosheth, who some of David's men, taking their own initiative, went out and killed him because they saw him as a threat, as a rival. And now Mephibosheth being summoned by David, being summoned to the king's house. He is living, we read, in Lodabir. Now, maybe your geography of Israel is better than mine, but I had to look that up on a map. That's a long ways from Jerusalem. It's way, way off in the corner of the land. He's hiding out. He doesn't want to be seen by David. He doesn't want to be seen by the king's line. He wants to be as far away from the action as possible. And yet he's called, summoned, brought to the king. And he comes in with fear and falls down before David. And David, wanting to calm him immediately, do not fear. Mephibosheth is brought in, and some of David's first words, don't be afraid. Do not fear. I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. Jonathan comes in and confesses he is unworthy to be in the presence of the king. He confesses, I am your servant. He says, why would you show kindness to one such as me, a dead dog? He places himself in the lowest of positions. He comes humbly. He comes bowing. He comes asking for nothing, recognizing his complete dependence, even for his very life, now before King David. What will the king do? Do not be afraid. Don't fear. I will show kindness to you. Last week we read a preparatory form to help us to prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. And if you spent time this past week reflecting upon your life, upon the sin that still remains, perhaps you entered this morning with a certain amount of fear. Why would God call me into His presence? Why would He invite me to the table? I am worthy of death. Why would He be good to me, a dead dog? I am the lowest. I'm a servant. And yet as we approach God at the table, He says, do not fear. I will show you kindness.
kindness in spite of who we are. Kindness in spite of the sin that still clings to us. Kindness for the sake of another. For the sake of Jesus Christ. Oh, we don't come proudly to the table claiming our righteousness. We come bowing down humbly, acknowledging our sin, recognizing our need. Who are we that You should be so good to us, O God, to welcome us to come to the table? And yet God says to you, do not fear. I will show you kindness for the sake of another. I will show you kindness for the sake of Jesus Christ. David will put Mephibosheth at ease. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Behold, he says, I'm going to take care of you. I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. He is not in the royal line. He is not a royal son anymore. And yet, he is brought into the king's house and he is allowed to eat at the king's table. And all of his grandfather's possessions will be restored to him. The abundance of the blessing of David toward Mephibosheth. Not only invited to the king's table, but he will be provided for the rest of his life. He says to Ziba, now you will take care that he's always taken care of. That he'll always have plenty. Ziba, we read, had 15 sons and 20 servants. This was no small operation in farming and raising crops. This was a huge operation. 15 sons, 20 servants, 35 people working this land. God's abundant provision through David from Mephibosheth. You will always be cared for, and you will always eat at my table. You will be treated like a son, even though you have no right. In fact, even though you were of a rival king, you are welcome. You are invited. You are expected at the king's table. What a wonderful blessing. That God to us today does not say, stay outside. He does not say, I'll treat you as a servant. But God invites us to His table as sons and daughters, as those who are for the sake of another expected to come. Expected to partake of the wonderful blessing of taking and eating the body and blood of Christ. God invites, God expects, God commands His children to receive the abundant blessing, to receive the ongoing provision, and to come and enjoy the table of the Lord. At the very end of this story, we read in verse 13, so Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. That small fact is given to us at the beginning of the story as well. Is there anyone with whom I can show God's goodness? And he says that there is this one. There is a servant, but he is crippled in both his feet. Why point this out twice? Why point it out at the beginning of the story and at the end of the story? Mephibosheth had an infirmity. And in spite of the fact that David was good to him, in spite of the fact that David welcomed him to the table, in spite of the fact David treated him as a son, the infirmity remained. We recognize our sin and our weakness. It is a crippling infirmity. And in spite of the fact that God in His goodness has blessed us, in spite of the fact that He has washed us and cleansed us, even in spite of the fact that we eat at the king's table, tomorrow we'll still be sinners. The infirmity is not taken away. But rather than having that keep us from the table, it should be our encouragement to go to the table. For here is where we are strengthened. Here is where we are reminded that in spite of our sin, in spite of our fallenness, in spite of the fact that God knows what's going to happen tomorrow, He still welcomes us. He still treats us as sons and daughters, just like with our own children. Children, when you disobey, your parents are not happy about it, but they don't say, "You're not my son anymore." They say, "Confess, repent, change." In spite of the fact that they know our children, like their parents, continue with the infirmity of sin. God strengthens us at the table. Strengthens us and steals our souls against sin. But knowing that we're fallen reminds us we have to come back again for more strengthening from the table and from the Word, continually being reminded of God's call to faith and repentance and holiness in life. We don't come to the table righteous in ourselves. We come declaring our fallenness. And yet beyond that, declaring God's grace. This morning, you are invited. You are welcomed for the sake of Jesus Christ to eat at the King's table. Let's pray together. Lord our God, when we consider Your greatness, Your majesty, that You are King over all creation, over all the universe, we say, who are we that You should show regard for a dead dog such as I? And yet, O God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we know that You receive us. We know that You treat us as sons and daughters. Oh, thank You, Lord God. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for what You have accomplished in Jesus Christ. Thank You that we are treated not as servants, not as outcasts, but treated as sons and daughters. May our lives reflect that knowledge. May the strengthening we get today go with us into the week, that in spite of our weakness and frailty, You would steel our souls against sin and help us to live in a way that is pleasing to You. Hear our prayer, O God, for we ask it for the sake of another, Jesus Christ. Amen.